In 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll read a few verses beginning in verse 6. Wherefore also, it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So here we are. It says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. I want to talk for just a few minutes this morning about precious things. We could probably preach a message on precious things out of the Bible for a couple months, but we're going to look at what we can today and talking about precious things. The first precious thing I want to speak of, it says, he is precious. It's the chief cornerstone. He is precious. What's precious to you? You know, we talked about that farmer and his great crop and all that stuff just a little bit ago, and what was precious to him was a good corn crop, a good bean crop, a full silo, and a big check from the end of the year on his profit margins on his crop and all that. And you know, just like the guy in the Bible where the Lord said, tonight thy soul will be required of thee. He's building bigger barns and filling bigger barns, and you know, all these things the world would look at and say is successful. And what was precious to him were things of the world. I think a lot of born-again believers are so caught up in the world that the precious things, the true precious things, are things of the world. I got a nice car, got a nice house, got a lot of food in the fridge. You got a lot, probably too much food in the fridge, amen? And all that stuff. Just invite me over. I'll help you knock that food out. Unfortunately, I have a problem with that sometimes. But, you know, we get caught up in the things of the world, what's precious to people. But what the Bible says is precious is Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ because of his finished work on Calvary. Because of the fact that he didn't have his own sin and he went to hell, dropped mine off, and he come back out because the gates of hell should not prevail against him. He's the rock that couldn't be kept in there, amen? You know, a rock usually goes down and stays down. Our rock come back up, amen? He's precious. What's precious about him? Well, he's our Savior. God himself, God the Son, died for our sins. He's precious. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What's precious? The Lord Jesus Christ, our chief cornerstone, is precious. The blood he shed on Calvary was precious. You know why it was precious? Because it wasn't man's blood. It was God's blood. Now, Jesus Christ was all man, and he was all God. And if he wasn't all man and wasn't all God, then he couldn't save us. He had to be man so he could come down here and walk the walk you should be walking but can't, and he walked it for you. He had to be God so he could shed that clean and innocent, perfect blood so you and I could have eternal life. It's precious blood. People say, well, you don't talk about the blood. Blood's too much. It's gross. People don't want to hear about that. Hey, if it's not for the blood, you'd be burning in hell. Say, well, we just want to explain away the blood. We want to tone down the rhetoric, if you will, on the blood. We want to quit talking about the blood. We want to quit talking about sin. And just come in here and have a good time and everybody get along. We can all just come in happy and leave happy. And if you're happy in sin, you're not saved. Or you're way out of God's will. You've been out there so long, the Holy Spirit doesn't deal with you anymore. But here we talk about precious things. What's precious to folks? They're arguing now a lot of, you know, the Bible doesn't say there shouldn't be women pastors. My Bible says the bishop's supposed to be the husband of one wife. Now, even in California, amen, where they think that two women can be married and one can be the husband, whatever, that's still not biblical, amen. They want to argue about that stuff because you know what else is precious? The way God set things up. The way God set things up. Not just, I'm talking about the hierarchy, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. The pastor's the under-shepherd. And the pastor's job is not to run it, but it's to keep everybody else from running it, amen? Because if everybody else runs it, we're all going to ruin it. Amen. That's what happened outside the walls. You know what's precious? Structure. Decently and in order. God set up a structure. That doesn't mean anybody's any better than anybody else. There is no Jew or Greek. There is no male or female in Christ. God looks at everybody the same. They'll take that verse and say, well, there is no male and female in Christ, so that's why women preachers are fine nowadays. That's not true. A woman can preach. She can say, the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul. Praise the Lord for women to preach. You look at the Bible, and God used women in some mighty ways, and it was precious that he was able to do that and willing to do that. Amen? But he didn't put them over in the authority of the pastorate position. They take that on themselves. Amen? But here, what is precious? The chief cornerstone is precious. The blood shed on Calvary is precious. You know, Jesus' life was precious. You know how I know that? Because God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know, he couldn't have said that about any of us without his Son walking this earth and living a sinless life. He could have looked at us and said, well, I'm putting up with that person. Amen? I'm tolerating them. If I wasn't long-suffering, I'd smoke them all. They'd all just be grease spots down there in the middle of nowhere. He said, that's not what somebody said. You know what he said? I'm going to send my Son. My Son's going to walk the walk you should walk. He's going to die the death you deserve to die. He's going to drop your sin debt off. He's going to come back out of that grave. And I'm going to look at my Son at one point, and I'm going to say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And you know what's really precious about that? God the Father was pleased with him. And now what's precious for you and I, he can look at you and look at me and say, this is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. Because you've been given the righteousness of the precious cornerstone, Jesus Christ. What's precious? That chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. What's precious? The blood he shed on Calvary. You know what that blood does, that precious blood? It offers you salvation. Praise the Lord. We know that's an easy one, right? We know we get saved because Jesus Christ shed his blood. You know what else it does? It's redemption through his blood. It offers you redemption. He buys you back. The devil's running a giant pawn shop down here. Amen? He's running a giant pawn shop down here, and he says, I've got all these people that I have purchased. You see, because people without Christ are they're children of the devil. The world says, well, no, we're all God's children. No, you've got the wrong God if you believe that. The thing is, the devil, because of sin, has all these people. They are under the bondage of sin. They're bought under sin. They're paying the price under sin. They're already condemned for rejecting Jesus Christ. They're already in a bad situation. The devil says, I've got them, and you can't afford them. You know what God said? I can afford them. I can pay for them. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're talking about a pawn shop over there in Richmond, and said, you don't go over there, that one on 40 or whatever, their guns are so high you can buy a new one cheaper than their guns they're offering. I said, well, I don't doubt that. You go in there and you can't afford it. You know what the devil says? I've got these people and they're done. They're sold into sin. And God says, I have the price. I have the price. I can pay that pawn flip. I don't mean to cheapen salvation, but I'm just trying to put it down here. We can understand what happened. The devil said, I have defeated these people. They are done. There's no way they can please you. And he said, hang on a minute. My Son will die for them. He'll come back out of that grave. I'll accept his blood atonement. I'll accept that death, burial, and resurrection. I'll call them sinners, and when they accept that and they repent and turn to me, I'll buy them back. So God gives you, through his blood, salvation and redemption. You know what the Bible says? Look at Romans chapter 5. You know what it says? Keep your finger in 1 Peter 2. Well, Romans chapter number 5. In Romans chapter number 5, verse number 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That blood gives you salvation, it gives you redemption, it gives you justification. Now you are justified. All these people say, well, what if you're standing at the gate and God said, why should I let you in? Because I have the blood of Jesus Christ on my account. I am justified. When God the Father looks at me, he's justified, never done anything wrong, because he sees the Son. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What's precious? Imputation's precious. Amen? God has imputed his righteousness to your account if you're saved. Isn't that something? He imputed your sin debt, the sin of the world, not just people, some people. God died for all. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. He imputed the sin debt of the world on Christ on Calvary. And if you accept Christ your Savior and call on him for salvation, He will impute Jesus Christ's righteousness to you. Imputation's precious. Without imputation, we'd have no hope. So, well, I just think I could do enough. If you could do enough, Jesus Christ wouldn't have died for you. Amen? If you could shed your blood and it would be fine, then Jesus Christ wouldn't have died for you. Every man, woman, and child ever born on the face of this earth beside Jesus Christ could shed all their blood and none of it would please the Father. You know why? Because it's tainted by a sin-cursed flesh. What's precious? Imputation is precious. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, verse 1, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You know what else is precious? Faith. Now, I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe that, you know, we have the ability to make a decision to trust Christ or not trust Christ. God doesn't pick who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. He predestinates you at salvation to be conformed to the image of His Son. We're, talk about elect according to the foreknowledge. We just talked about that cornerstone being the elect. Most of the time when the Bible's talking about elect, it's talking about Israel or it's talking about Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you today that God has given us faith. And what people do with it's up to them. So everybody has faith. You sit in a car on the way to church. You know what you had faith? You had faith that the tires were going to keep the air in it. The seat was going to hold you up. And you were going to make it to church. Now, I know it doesn't always work out that way with a car. You sit in a chair, you got faith that thing's going to hold you up. Yeah, you walk down these stairs, you got faith, hopefully some faith that your knees are going to keep you up. Amen. And if you go up and down the stairs too much, tonight they'll keep you up. Right? Told my wife the other day, I said, I don't know what's going on. I said, I got up out of the chair, my left ankle hurt so bad I could hardly walk on it. I shook that off. I said, man, I ain't giving in. I went and sat back down, got back up, my right hip, and I'm like, good night. It's balanced, though, left and right. You get them both on one side, you're in trouble. Amen? But faith is precious. You know what? People put faith in a lot of things. They put faith in the government. Good night. That's some faith, amen. Said blind faith, that's retarded faith, amen. There's something wrong with that faith. If you're putting it in the government, there's something bad wrong with that. They put faith in science. You know, the Bible warns about science falsely so-called, and then they put faith in the men that tell them what science is. And they'll put faith in, if you've got a medical doctor and they're great and they do good things and they're keeping you going, praise the Lord. But put faith before the Lord, they'll put faith in doctors. They'll put faith in lawyers. They'll put faith in the Constitution. But you know where people don't usually put their faith? In the words of God and the Word of God. But faith placed in the right place is precious. You know what's precious about placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in that book right there? You don't have to worry about all the other stuff. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to drive up to Minnesota and put a red or a blue hat on and start attacking people. You can go home and read your Bible and say, Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen? Faith is precious. I'm glad we have faith. I'm glad we have faith. 1 Samuel chapter 3 said, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. You know what else is precious? The word of the Lord. I got a letter this morning out of the mailbox, and I opened it up, and it didn't have a return address on it, and it looked like it was handwritten. And I opened it up, and it said, pastor, preacher, teacher, whatever, this is a friend somewhere in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, return to the King James Bible. And it started giving scripture. It's funny, because I was just thinking about that. You know, everybody says, oh, they're all the same. No, they're not all the same. They're not all the same because it takes certain verses out that are showing the deity of Jesus Christ and showing the fact that He was God in the flesh on this earth. And they take those out to fit their agenda. I was just thinking, and that's one of the verses He had on there. And he went down through there and he hit some verses. And then at the end, he just said, in the Lord, bless something. He didn't put a name on it. I thought, well, that's kind of neat, really. But I don't have to return to the Bible. I had to return to the Bible when I put it down. I had to pick it back up and return to it. But I have to return. I haven't left this book. That book hadn't left me. I have never once opened that King James Bible and thought, what a tainted, error-ridden writing. I have opened it a few times and thought, man, God's obviously a lot smarter than I am because I don't know what he's saying. And then later on he said, this is what I'm saying here. You know why he does that? Faith. You know what the Bible says? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what God will do if you put faith in his book? When you come to one of those spots that everybody's scratching their head about, and you just say, well, I don't know, I'm right, you're wrong, or I'm wrong, you're right. Lord, I don't understand it, they're wrong. I don't know what's going on. You know, Lord, you wrote the book. If I could figure it all out, I'd be as smart as you, and I know I'm not as smart as you. I don't know, I'll pray about it. And then 6 months later, he'll show you what that was. And you go, oh. Because you didn't attack the book, and because you went with a humble heart, he'll say, you know what, I'm going to give you something here. You know what it does? It increases your faith. It increases your faith in the Lord and the book. So, well, you know, everybody else might not. And it's funny to me what people argue about. They argue about things that to you and I seem very basic, like eternal security. Once saved, always saved, whatever you want to call it. They'll argue about that like they don't see it and it's not in there. And we're like, how do you not see it? Because you put faith in that book and God said, you know what, I'm going to show you something through reading and preaching and teaching that you can hang your hat on. I don't go to bed at night thinking, well, I wonder if I'm really right about eternal security. Now, I have questioned my own salvation because I'm a goofball sometimes. Y'all do that? Y'all think, how could I be saved and think like that? How could I be saved and act like that? How could I be saved and feel that way? How could I be saved and be so discouraged? But I know I'm saved because he said, and once you're saved, you're sealed and set apart for a purpose. I don't get up and think, well, you know, I know I got saved right, but I wonder if I'm sealed right. Because I didn't seal me. I got one of those food things, vacuum sealers. I make food sometimes. I don't know if y'all ever tried to seal chili or not in a bag. Sometimes that don't work so well. Sometimes my seals fail. God's don't. You know how I know? I got a Bible. You know what the Bible says? So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He's talking about Noah, and you need to put him in the ark, and God shut him in. You know what God did? Sealed it up. You know when I got in Jesus Christ, the ark of my salvation, God sealed it up. Amen. Faith is precious. I don't know what's going on the rest of the day. I don't know what's going on tomorrow. I don't know. I know we're not going through the tribulation and all that stuff. They could come in here and shoot me dead. I don't know what's going on, but I do know this. When I leave this world, I will be with Jesus Christ. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Oh no, it's soul sleep, it's purgatory, you just go to the grave, you burn up, disappear, or whatever. No, I'm absent from the body, present with the Lord. I'm present with the Lord sometimes anyway. I mean real present. You ever read the book and you just feel like, I'm almost like Enoch right now. I feel like me and the Lord's just going to walk out of here. And then sometimes you read it and you're like, man, the Lord just, he's not happy with me or something. I don't have the same feeling I had yesterday. But you know what? I'm still saved. I'm still saved. You know what's precious? Eternal security. Where do you get it? So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You get it from the book. Why does the devil attack the book so much? Because he knows how precious it is. Why does he attack Jesus Christ so much? Because he knows how precious he is. Why does he attack the blood so much? Because he knows how precious it is. You know why he attacks your faith so much? Because he knows how precious it is. The only way the devil can mess your faith up is you quit reading that book. Second Peter chapter 1. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know what's precious? His promises. His promises. We talked about that. You know what he promised? If you go to him, he'll no wise cast you out. He promised, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what else he promised? We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. That's a double promise, isn't it? He saves you and seals you. Guess who seals you? The Holy Spirit of promise. Isn't that something? I like the Bible. Say, well, I love this person, but I don't like them. I like it. I don't just love it, I like it. You know what I like about the Bible? You say, well, love's thrown around. It just doesn't mean a whole lot anymore when you're talking in the world. Love this, love that. Love is love, all that. No. God's love is the standard. But what I like about the Bible is it'll increase my faith. What I love about the books, it showed me my Savior. It showed me my sin. It showed me my Savior. And it showed me I'm sealed. But what I like about it is it'll increase my faith. We were talking about some of the things going around the world, you know, going on in the world, going around the country and all this stuff, you know. And who knows? It come to our neighborhood. And I said, well, I'm working out. I'm practicing if it comes to our house, amen. Can't see this on tape, thankfully. But this is how I'm working out. Amen. I'm not going looking for trouble. I just don't want trouble to come find me. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy what's left of the ride and trust the Lord to get us out of this dumpster. Amen? I'm not going to try to overthrow the government. It's already been overthrown by the devil years ago. Amen? Now, you get a politician you like, maybe they're doing the right things. They're a Band-Aid on a sinking ship. Amen? The Lord's going to fix this. I've got faith in that because I have a Bible. You know what's precious? Faith. We talked about that. But faith and those promises. Look at 1 Peter chapter 7. Or not chapter 7, excuse me. Chapter 1, verse 7. If you find 1 Peter chapter 7, you let me know. This is a tough one. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what God says is precious? The trials of your faith. What makes it precious? Well, if Jesus Christ is precious to you, if his blood shed on Calvary is precious to you, if his words are precious to you, if his promises are precious to you, then you can withstand the trials of your faith. So the Bible says when the devil attacks your faith, when the devils attack your faith, when life and circumstances attack your faith, and you stick with him, it's precious to him. Why is that? Let's read it again. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what it does? It gives him honor and glory. When you get the slats knocked out from under you, when the devil kicks the wind out of you, when you got two black eyes running around, spiritually speaking, and you can say, he is worthy. He is worthy. That's precious to God. And we're talking about all these things that are precious to us. You know what says precious to the Lord too? The death of a saint. That means they finished their fight and they've gone home to be with him. That's precious. Isn't that something? See, the things that might not be precious to us that are precious to God, if you have a Bible, you can figure these things out. Why are they precious to him? It gives him glory. And it gives him that completed salvation. Those folks that are gone on before us, precious to the Lord to save folks. Amen? precious word, precious promises, precious trial of faith to bring him glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about gold, silver, and precious stones. You know what those precious stones are connected to? It's all connected to redemption and his lordship. But those precious stones are saved souls. That's connected to saved soul. That's precious. You know, that's precious to me because it gives him honor and glory. It shows the value of what he did on Calvary as best we can. It's precious to him. Precious to him. If it was easy, I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I thought, man, I'm going to tell everybody and they're just going to get saved, right? And you tell people and you start finding out that, I mean, God will give you some easy fruit, low-hanging fruit, when you first get saved, but after a while you figure out that people don't want Jesus Christ. I mean, a very small percentage even want to talk about it or hear about it. But if you just keep preaching, like I said before, I've said it again, I think you can get to heaven and find out there are a lot more people that accepted Christ that you got to be a part of than you realize. Whether it was prayer, a Bible tract, a rebuke. Or just saying, hey, you need the Lord. I don't know about you, there are a bunch of people, it seems to me, that are running around this world, they don't know what they need. Apparently, they think they need to stick a nose ring in, or a lip ring, or eyelid pierce, or tattoo of this, that, or the other. They think they need that. Need to color their hair 14 different colors, and they need to dress in all black or whatever this stuff's going on, paint their fingernails like the rainbow or paint their fingernails. All they need to do that so they can stand out. And then they find another group of people that do that so they can be like the people that they're trying to stand out with. I don't understand that. I want to be different, but I want to be different with a whole bunch of other people. They just need to know they need Jesus Christ. So what are you looking for? You know what the devil's telling them? Oh, well, I've got what you're looking for. They'll line them up with all kinds of goofed up people that have all kinds of goofed up beliefs and all kinds of wickedness in their life. And they'll line them up and they'll get together and they'll peacefully protest. Amen. And what they really need is Jesus Christ. You're talking about folks that are weak, injured and confused, and then the devil throws all that mess out there about, well, the Bible is written by men and all this stuff, so they don't want to go to the Bible. They're ashamed to go to the Bible because then they have to admit that they're looking for something in a book that everybody that they hang around says is written by men and it's not real, and they have to, maybe there's an authority out there that I have to answer to, and I'm going to be my own authority, and I'll boy, see how well that's working out for folks, amen. But then you know, and you say, you know what you really need? You need Jesus Christ. Now, if they claim they're saved and they pull the NIV out or something, I'll say, well, I'm sticking with this one. I don't walk up to people on the street, you know what you need? You need a King James Bible. You know what they need? They need King James Bible verses. You need to tell them you're a sinner, you're on your way to hell, and you need Jesus Christ. Then they need the Bible. I don't try to correct everybody's every thing that I don't believe matches up with the Bible. What they need is they need to get saved. Amen? The natural man doesn't understand the things of God, right? They're spiritually discerned. So explaining the pre-trib rapture to somebody that's on their way to hell is pointless. Getting caught up in a half-hour diatribe about how Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, battle Gog and Magog, new heaven and new earth, to somebody that's lost on their way to hell is pointless. They don't have any idea who Jesus Christ is. They think they do. But their definition of who Jesus Christ is has been led by the spirit of Antichrist most of the time. But you know what's precious? We've talked about this. That chief cornerstone, the blood he shed, his promises, his word, trials of your faith, when you can lead somebody to Jesus Christ, and having a place that's eternal to put your faith. If you put your faith in your bank account, one day it's going to be gone. If you put your faith in a president or a mayor or a governor or a politician, one day they're going to be gone. You put your faith in things of this world and collecting all this stuff, he that dies with the most junk wins and all that stuff's going to be gone. And most of the time, people are gone and they leave all that junk. Somebody else takes it for goodwill. Right? But you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you focus on laying up treasures in heaven instead of treasures on this earth. That's a precious place to put it. One of the most precious things we can talk about this morning is in 1 Corinthians 15. The whole chapter. I think we'll do a Bible study on 1 Corinthians 15. There's so much in there. But you know what? It tells us the death, burial, and resurrection and those witnessing him that come back out of the, when he come back out of the grave. We understand that. But you know where it ends up? Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. The chief cornerstone, he's precious. The blood he shed on Calvary, that was precious blood. Faith put back in Jesus Christ, that's precious. Faith in his word's precious. Precious promises, precious trials, precious stones. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now after you're saved and you've got your precious Savior, you've realized the precious blood and you have a precious book. Even the Jehovah's Witnesses one time, they agree with me on that. They said, oh, you're precious King James Bible. Praise the Lord. When you got all those things lined up and these things become precious to you and the trials of your faith, even though, look, we're human, we don't like trials. We don't always overcome temptation, but Christ did for you, praise the Lord. When you put your faith in these things that are precious, so that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, you develop a relationship with God through this book and Him through it, letting Him talk to you through His words. One of the most precious things you can have and hold in your heart is the fact that He's coming back to get us out of here. Even so, come Lord Jesus. So I'm just going to build a bunker and get $500,000 worth of canned goods and 3,000 rounds of .22 and 550 million rounds of .223 and 175 million rounds of .556 and get a gun for each hand and a gun for each foot, and, you know, I can shoot 12 of them, eyelid, whatever. You know, you got it all. You got an armory, amen. You got enough baked beans that whatever. When it all goes south and they take our money, I'm going to be able to live on beans and bullets. Amen. Well, beans and bullets don't mean much without water. Amen. You got to have some water. You better. If you're going to stockpile something, you should stockpile water. But I'm not excited about building up all this stuff so I can survive the wrath of man. You know what excites me? I'm not appointed to the wrath of God. I'm getting out of here. If Alibaba and his sword come in here and chop my head off, I'd be free for me. Oh, sure, I'd flop around the floor for a while and probably kick and cuss and stuff, maybe. That's the flesh. But I'd be free for me. I'm a Second Amendment guy, don't get me wrong. If Alibaba comes in here, we're going to try to take him out too. But what's precious is knowing where I'm going. And knowing if this gets much crazier, we know the Lord's getting us out of here. Amen? Even so, come Lord Jesus. What's precious to you? What's precious to you? Is it the Lord? The blood He shed? Salvation, redemption, justification. Acts 20:28 says it's God's blood. You know, before Adam sinned in the garden, there wasn't nothing wrong with his blood. You know the last Adam, Jesus Christ? Perfect blood. Perfect. God the Father didn't look at that and say, well, I'll take that for a year. I'll take that till the next holy day. He didn't say that. You know what He said? Once for all. Once for all. A one-time atonement. You believe once saved, always say, hey, I tell you what's precious. He didn't save my flesh, He saved my soul. He purified my soul with His precious blood. I'm going to heaven not because this flesh has been perfected, because my soul has been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. That which is born of God cannot commit sin. Amen, amen, amen. My soul has been born of God. This flesh hasn't been born of God. This flesh is still a mess. That's why Jesus Christ came down as all God and all man, was tempted in all points as you and I, yet without sin. He submitted His flesh constantly, continually, and perfectly to the will of the Father. And when God the Father looks at you and sees the precious blood of Christ and His precious perfection, His righteousness, He looks at you like you've never done anything wrong. Your flesh walked this world perfectly. So, well, He saved my flesh? No, your flesh has already been judged dead at Calvary. But He saved your soul. Precious. Aren't you glad we have a Bible? I'm glad to be in a church where we don't go, well, let me see here. Let's look up a verse. And here it is. I have the King James, and it says this. Sister, you've got the RSV. What's yours say, and how do you feel about that? Brother, you've got the NASB. How do you... And, oh, we've got a Greek scholar in the back. Tell me what does your manuscript say? And get four different opinions. And everybody has to be their own authority because nobody knows for sure what's what. You know what's precious to me? I can open this book right here in English and I don't care what anybody thinks. And God gives me what He wants me to have out of this book. I remember a long, long time ago in a quote-unquote Baptist church in another state. A missionary come in. Boy, you know, sometimes they come in and it's like John Wayne walking up to the pulpit. Like an old preacher said, find out he's Barney Fife when he gets up there, amen. Because his one bullet don't fit the gun. I remember him saying before he got to speak, he said, you guys are King James Church? And the preacher said, yeah. And he goes, oh good, I brought my parallel Bible. I'm like, I brought my unparalleled Bible. Amen? There ain't nothing like it. The words that are changed in this book are changed by the devil to get you to doubt Jesus Christ's divinity, to get you to doubt the fact that Jesus Christ is God, that He walked this earth as God, that God shed His blood for you, and that you're saved, you're sealed, you're set apart for a purpose, that you have a point, you have hope. It's precious. Precious. What's precious to you? It's So I just like to watch CNN and Fox to get all my news put together and figure it. How much have you read your Bible in the last week? Say, no, that book's precious to me, preacher. I knocked the dust off that thing this morning and brought it in. Cleaned off the cobwebs off the corners of it. Opened it up to the New Testament. I didn't know Matthew's in the New Testament. Anyway, I was opening up the New Testament. It's precious to me. You know what excites me as a preacher? To know that I can say how many books are in the Bible, somebody's going to give me the answer. I've been in churches that you would have had to went to the kids' Sunday school to find that out. Amen. Name the first book of the New Testament. Habakkuk. I mean, y'all, I don't know what you do when you leave here. You might have knocked the dust and the cobwebs off your Bible before you come. I don't know. But I do know this, you care enough to have some information about God's Word, even if it's not precious to you. I don't know. It should be. Should be. What's precious to you? Precious things. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that chief cornerstone, His precious blood, this precious book, His precious promises, the trials of our faith, where we're able, anybody can brag on the Lord if they're saved and everything's going perfect. But when somehow, against all odds, the Holy Spirit moves you to brag on Him when you're on the ropes, a second away from tapping out, saying, I'm quit. And then you can say, you know what? He's worthy. He's worthy. And then precious stones. And then precious promises. Even so come, Lord Jesus. So why is there so much confusion about the Bible? Because there's so many lost people trying to tell you what it says. Amen. You know, a lot of them are really smart. Well, we got Wes here, and he's studied all the grammatical everything of everything, and he knows, boy, he got the originals at home, and he's checking them out in his basement. And then we got Charlie over here, and he's got everything figured out, and then we got this guy over here and that guy. I'm not saying all these people are lost. I'm just saying we go to the wrong people a lot of times to figure out what God wants us to have. If God wanted you to read the Hebrew and Greek, you'd have been born learning Hebrew and Greek. He'd have predestinated you to know it, amen? But you know what He did? He put you in a land that speaks, well, used to speak primarily English, amen? In a world that speaks primarily English. That you set your clock by English time. That longitude and latitude set by England. And He gives you a book in English. And you know what? That book's precious. This book right here. Not the original autographs that I have never seen. Thank God for however you use them. Not the original autographs that you couldn't find five people to agree on what's what today. But this one. Listen right here. You know what else is precious? I am thankful that the Lord has given me a love for this book. This one. And I'm glad He settled it for me. John R. Reich didn't sell it for me. Peter Ruckman didn't sell it for me. Jack Hiles didn't sell it for me. Billy Sunday didn't sell it for me. The Lord settled it for me. I didn't say, Lord, If this is really Your word, bring Charles Spurgeon back from the dead to quote it for me. I didn't say that. I said, I got all these people saying all these things, and it seemed like a lot of hate on both sides. What's the truth? Lord, settle it. Do you know that the Lord is big enough to settle that without man's help? I'll be honest with you, the more I studied it in the beginning, when I didn't even know there was an issue with all these different versions and all that stuff. But the more I studied it, the more I thought, man, I'm about to give up. And when you come to the point where it's up to you and the Lord, between you and the Lord, He'll give you the answer. He'll give you the answer. And you know what that is? That's precious. That's precious. I believe what I believe because I have checked out what man has told me to believe with what God has told me to believe. And what matches up, and what don't. And where I'm not sure, God hasn't found a reason to let me know for sure yet. And He may never. But you know what else? One more precious thing, and we'll wrap it up. If I need it, my Father will give it to me. Amen? If I need to know something out of that book, not want to know because I want to beat somebody up with it, say I know more than you know, but if I need something that's going to help me live my life and glorify Him, He'll give it to me. He'll give it to me. You know why? He looks at us as precious. And He is precious. Father, we love You and thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for the blood shed on Calvary. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your precious promises. Lord, help us to occupy till You come, not just take up space, but to be a witness to the death, burial, and resurrection, blood atonement of Christ. And see You save souls, Lord, save sinners, pluck them out of the fire before You call us home. Even so come, Lord Jesus, we're looking for Your glorious appearing. Keep us safe through the day. Bless the nursing home service coming up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.